Okay, everyone, it's time to hurry up and wait in the regroup, your podcast in between the stages.
Hello and welcome to the regroup with Zane and GT. I'm Zane.
I'm GT. I usually do the intro. I don't know what you've done then, but...
Well, it's a bit different. It's a bit different this week, and that is because we are deep, deep into Speedway month on the regroup, and Guy's currently driving Leroy the Lexus on the way back to Adelaide after our weekend adventure.
Yeah, deep in the heart of the Riverland. There was a fair bit of a debate about where the oranges were and how they grow, but it wasn't this time of year.
No, we were wondering why we hadn't seen the oranges. We saw the big orange that apparently is being renovated, so I couldn't go look at it, according to fucking mum over here. But the reason we didn't see any oranges is because they are not growing at the moment.
Yeah.
So don't come to us for farming advice. Now, we had a full weekend. We last time you would have heard us was on the way there on the Saturday morning, and Sunday morning now. They raced all of Saturday afternoon and night. I thought an event starting at 5 p.m. would be nice and cool and dark, but it was far from it.
Yeah, she was pretty warm. I guess that's the nature of Speedway being a summer sport. But yeah, Michael Busby, our mate who was racing, he had a nice black kit and a black car. And so we were pretty handy on the umbrella. Not handy at anything else. However, you know, we did have an issue after the first heat. Michael went out there and he was actually first. It was on the outside. On the front row for the first race.
So that's twos. I think one is the inside, two's the outside. We learned so much, by the way.
He kept the lead for the first couple and ended up finishing fourth. And it looks like his car was really balanced, but he just wasn't getting the speed down the straight. We figured that out afterwards. It was running at five, and he actually ran out of fuel coming in.
Yeah, so it's two issues. He ran out of fuel, and then we realised that the car was running on five cylinders for the whole race, which is why he was down on power. So that was my first bit of fun. I got to get in there with some tools and fix an old Holden V6, which is it was the injector apparently, because methanol is a bit harsh on the injectors, so we've learnt that.
Yeah, done well, mate.
Thank you, professional Speedway mechanic. And then I was tasked with replacing the travel struts, because they put solid struts in instead of the shocks, but I didn't know my left from my right, so I fixed one thing, but then got confused with my left and the rights on the next thing. So
I was just Jackman.
An
umbrella man.
Jack and umbrella. If you ever need those services, come to us. Anyway, so it was a good weekend. It was interesting. Not my first experience at Speedway. I've been to one as a spectator. I think you've been to a couple. It's good sport to bring the family to, which you've done a couple of times.
Yep. Yeah. I hadn't really been to any other really track but Murray Bridge, maybe when I was younger. But it was a good track out of Mildura. Apparently, from a driver perspective, it's one of the best in the country, they say. It was pretty good from a spectator's point of view. However, later in the night, we were getting showered and dusted and clay off the in corner in the A main.
Yeah, they had about 14 water trucks at the Speedway. We're lucky to get one in all of South Australia for our Carnacross tracks, but they had 14 water trucks there. But I think after a few rounds, they were running a bit out of time, so they just kind of stopped watering it and got a bit dusty. But anyway, that's why they were all wearing safety glasses and we weren't. Well, you wore your sunnies all night, didn't you?
Yeah, at midnight wearing sunnies. It's dark.
It was a good look, though.
Los Angeles? Nah.
What?
Cut.
Okay.
Trying to make a Blues Brothers reference, but yeah.
Anyway, so it was good fun. It was hot and dusty, but I guess that's what you sign up for in motorsport. And then, so Michael, first heat, five cylinders, fixed that, went back out. And then the second heat, because he started on the front row for the first, the second one he was starting on the back row. And he made up one place, but then got stuck in a battle. The two cars in front of him were having a ding-dong battle, which meant he really couldn't squeeze past them at any point. And then the third heat, he started fifth and had the number one South Australian behind him. And then off
going for his third title in a row, so you know.
Yeah, right. Okay, so this was the state title, so he had to win it. And he had the South Australian number one behind him, and then off the launch, I think the number one got in front, and then Michael with the bloody move of the century just sends it up the inside, parks on the apex, takes off, and overtakes the number one South Australian.
So we took the what I would call the Zane line. So when we first took Zane to the Speedway a few years ago now, Zane couldn't figure out why there was so much room on the inside of the track that surely if you ran there, it's a shorter track and it'd be quicker. Like, why would you drive further?
I just couldn't figure out why no one was hitting the apex.
So anyway, that's the Zane line. That's like four wheels on the curb or the inside.
Yeah, so sends it up the inside, overtakes number one SA. We are absolutely having the time of our lives in the stands as new Speedway fans. Mm. But then sadly, shortly after, I think about two laps after that, all on his own, just like hit a little rut, I think, hit a rut on a corner, and Michael spun around. And then the number one SA, who was behind him at this point, let's remind you, had a little, mounted Michael.
Yeah, no, not a pretty sight at first, because it was the opposite side of the track where we were viewing from, and all we saw was a car crash into another car. Not a nice thing to see with your mates in a crash like that. But yeah, fortunately everyone was alright. But yeah, they were actually stuck together for a little while and took a few tractors and hammers to actually separate them. But yeah, no, they were alright. Michael's car probably was. It's definitely so, like no major damage. Probably could have fixed it to get out there for the B main, but I elected not to, just because there was a lot of people fighting hard last night, and yeah, the potential to have another Bengal fighting for maybe, you know, off the back row of the B main, there wasn't much reward for the effort that we would have had to put in.
But yeah, the car wasn't too damaged, I think, so everyone was all happy, and then the beers started, and yeah, it was a good night after that. So, what was your impressions of Speedway, Guy?
Trailers. We were talking about trailers on our last episode yesterday, and to give everyone an update, yeah, very impressed. Like, I mean, if you go to a sprint car event, there's trucks, and, you know, just millionaires everywhere, I suppose, or dollar bucks. But I guess, yeah, the wingless sprints are a good in between where there's a bit of money around, but it is still much a very grassroots sport, and lots of guys have nice enclosed trailers, and had a nice look around there and a lot of good setups.
I think on the grassroots thing, that's a really good place to start out with, because like any motorsport, there's money, and the top guys have money, and it's not a secret, but the thing I was impressed by is how well it's controlled. I'm not sure how much Michael, a friend of the show, Michael, has spent, but it's not in the same category as some of the other guys he's racing against, and yet the racing is still as close as it is. So the engines are all sealed, the chassis are controlled. Like, it's a lot of control parts, and they seem to do it really, really well.
Mm. Yep.
It's not like money buys you the trophy, as it can be in some other categories, which was cool. That was really interesting to see, especially coming from rallying, where I know I'm a big believer that you can outdrive your package in rallying, which is a good thing. But yeah, seeing that, you know, the money you spent will get you as close as you kind of can to the top.
Yeah, and I guess on that note, comparing, I guess, rallying to Speedway, yeah, look, it's handy in Speedway how you can, you know, in the season that you can race almost every weekend, it costs you bugger all to enter. You can get a lot of seat time. The cars are reasonably easy to fix because they're purpose built. But also, someone can ruin, as we were saying before, someone else can ruin your day. And to win a state title, which is only a one round or one event sort of thing, other than like a multi-round championship, it's such a lottery. You've got to have the speed, but you've got to have the luck. To get through all the heats, to get a good position for the B and the A, and I don't know, we still don't really know how it works there. But to then, you know, potentially, you know, have a good run in the final and come out on top, a lot of things have to come together for that. And generally, you know, the best driver on the day probably won't win. Or, you know, we saw that in the Super Sedan, it was the Victorian Super Sedan state title as well, and there was one guy leading for about 25 of the 35 laps, and yeah, had an unfortunate bingo with or he got tangled up with a car in front, a lapped car, and it was all over. You know, there's so many variables, I guess, there in such a big race with so many other cars on the track. It's not like rallying where you're just on your phone.
I guess that's the massive difference. Like, obviously, you can have mechanicals and you can have kangaroos and whatever in rallying, but there's most of it's within your control. You know, if you beat someone because they had a mechanical, then, you know, you spent 3 weeks in the shed before the event, so that's kind of on you, right? But if someone runs into you from behind, there's not really much you can do about that.
No, that's right. So, yeah, a lot of things have to come together. And, yeah, I suppose at the end of the day, well, the end of the day didn't come, actually. We got to bed at 1 o'clock, which is probably rookie bedtime for speedway enthusiasts. Usually it's more like 4 or 5 o'clock if you drive home.
We did see a post this morning, an Instagram post from some real speedway enthusiasts. From the morning post without going to bed. So we weren't quite there. Amateurs had to go to bed in the 4-star motel because we're from the cushy sport of rallying.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. There's been very few times for rallying after parties. There's been a few of them, a few good ones, but I think speedway guys know really how to party in the dirt.
100%. What else was there to see? There was the trucks and the trailers, which we were fans of. I liked the mechanical side of the cars. It was really cool because they're so custom. Well, not custom, but, you know, fabricated race cars. You know, there's no...
And they're all the same, but not the same.
Yeah, there's still room to move. And it's cool to look at the tiny little differences between them. So I really like that because I do a lot of motorsport fabrication and stuff like that. That's it. One thing we did notice was... it was interesting at the end because it was a South Australian title in Victoria and a Victorian title for the super sedans in Victoria, and a New South Welshman won one of them and a Tasmanian won the other. It was a bit like, it didn't feel like there was much fanfare, I guess.
Yeah, it almost looked like everyone wanted to pack up and get out of there as soon as it finished, and that was the state title.
Yeah, because there's no... border restrictions, as I'm pretty sure there's none in rallying either.
Just don't bring fruit, mate.
Don't bring fruit and you're allowed to enter the speedway. But a New South Welshman won the South Australian Speedway Championship in Victoria. So the other three New South Welshmen really, really supported him through that. So yeah, I don't know, it was a bit interesting. There was no like cheering and stuff like that.
I guess you just get bragging rights for putting number one on your car for the rest of the year, don't you?
That was fun, seeing all the number ones, because it was, the super sedans especially. There was like every state number one was there. Yeah. There was like 6 or 7 number ones driving around.
Yeah, and disappointingly, we talked about it, but we didn't buy a t-shirt.
No, there were some colourful t-shirts, but none up my alley. A lot of black shirts. Why is everyone wearing black shirts at 35 degree speedway nights?
Yeah, it's just a thing these days, I guess, but...
Don't they know cricket players wear white for a reason?
Yeah, but I think that's one thing rallying could pick up at. We need louder shirts, guys.
Be the change you want to see in the world, guys. So go see Guy at the next service park. He'll sell you a Speedway shirt for his Magna.
Rallying Magna-flavoured Speedway shirt. All the colours under the rainbow.
100%. Now, is there anything else we need to talk about Speedway? What else happened? The canteen was pretty good. You don't get a canteen like that at rallying.
Killer Mildura Sunset. We didn't see an orange. Hey, that's Chapman Boar.
Just passing Chapman Boar for anyone familiar with the area.
Yeah, it's a very in-joke, that one. But anyway, let's skip past that bit, guys. Look, we did see several dirt go-karting tracks on the way up here, and it's, I guess, something we've both been talking about potentially dabbling in. For quite a bit of time now, I've got a couple of young kids. I would like to have a go at a bit of go-karting. I believe dirt go-karting is probably the way to go in terms of learning to control a car when it's out of control and cleaning it afterwards. We chatted to Aaron Bowring a few hours ago. Him and his kids are into it quite heavily. I believe his son Dylan's Australian title holder for his category.
Really?
Yeah, he won that last year or something, yeah.
Good on him. Now, if you're listening and going, hang on a minute, why did they speak to Aaron Bowring and not invite him onto the podcast?
Well, no, we didn't invite him on the podcast because we've been intimidated. So we're both one-time SA champions. He's 2 or 3 now.
Too many for how actually good he is at driving. He's not that good at driving. I don't know how he won any.
He would be outnumbered, and it wouldn't be fair, and our egos would be hurt. So
that's right. But if we made you listen to Aaron Bowring talk for an hour, we'd lose all our listeners. So you're welcome for that. But we had a good chat with him anyway.
Depending on the subject, if you're really into axle links and dirt go-kart tire compounds, we could record a special episode there.
Definitely. He's from Mount Gambier, so he's a bit different. Don't hold it against him. So we're taking up dirt go-karting, we've decided. Isn't that right?
Apparently. Going back to the trailer thing, I've got a... Apparently, I reckon I can fit six go-karts in my trailer. Zane doesn't reckon, but I don't need six go-karts anyway.
How wide's a go-kart?
Well, a listener can get in contact with
it. But you know how wide a go-kart is?
A metre and a half.
How long's your trailer?
It's 2 metres wide.
How long's your trailer?
Long. Five minutes.
So you're going to fit six go-karts in that?
Just on top of each other.
Like Busby and number one, mounted.
Like a dog and a dog.
Yes. Second weekend of April, we're going to go dirt go-karting. Maybe we'll do a dirt go-karting month on the regroup as well.
Speedway month, dirt go-karting month. Are you coming to the Monster Trucks? Hot Wheels Monster Trucks in July.
Well, you haven't invited me yet. Is this the invitation?
I think it is, but that could be Monster Truck month.
What's the ticket worth?
Not sure.
My birthday's in July. You could just get me it.
Well, then I'll get you a ticket. Whatever motorsports could we make a month out of?
You think you could get a month out of Monster Trucks?
No.
I think you get 20 minutes. Like, you know, we'd get you crying when they crush the Magnas.
That was quite depressing. Thanks, Jack, if you ever listen to this. I think they had 6 or 8 Magnas at the last Monster Trucks at the Wavell Showgrounds a few weeks ago. Where they're getting them from, I don't know, because I can't find them myself for $0. Maybe they actually have money and I'm paying a little bit for them. But if anyone's got a scrap Magna out there, get in touch, because I'll put it in my backyard and not yours.
Don't run it over. Guy wants them. He's only got 14. He needs more.
You can never have enough. You look at HQ Racing, Excel Racing, you know, they've all disappeared.
That's true. I've been working on HQ recently. That's not been fun anyway.
Story.
Another fun fact about the Speedway, which I was very impressed by, was they had the national anthem and everyone took their hats off, put it on their chest. Now that is Australian pride.
Let us all rejoice.
You don't even know the second verse, do you?
I'll get there.
Yeah, I bet you don't. Maybe we need that, and we need some jets flying over and rallying.
It's not Adam Sandler. Who's the bloody comedian?
Who's the comedian?
Adam Spicks and Specks bloke. He did a rendition of Australia's Let Us All the Australian National Anthem to Jimmy Barnes. That should be our national anthem.
What, just Jimmy Barnes should be our national anthem?
It's true. Just himself?
Yeah, just him. Is he's the one that screams in that meme song, right?
He is, yes. Yeah.
That'd be a good start. Anyway, I'd get behind that. What's that to talk about?
Not a lot. We've covered off on most of it, I suppose. Guess Rally... No, we talked about Rally Sweden.
What's that? Is that a red flag? Is that the Chinese Communist Party? What's that, guy? You're a farmer. What's that flag for?
When the wind blows it to the east, and the green grass is growing.
I don't know if I've told you this, but one of the main reasons I like going on road trips is to look at cows and learn facts about cows, because I like cows. And I thought going with an ex-dairy farmer on a road trip would be the highlight. This bloke knows absolutely nothing about cows.
I know the basics. I can keep them alive and get the milk out of them, but that's about it. I'm not passionate about it, you know?
Yeah, what's that cow over there, guy? Oh, it's a brown one. It's a brown cow, yeah.
I know some of them, like Friesian and Angus. And you really like the Scottish ones.
The Highlanders with the horns. I think everyone likes the Highlanders. No, the Holsteins are the spotty ones, right?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
See what I have to deal with?
Yeah.
The dairy cows. Yeah. Are they not Holsteins?
Holstein Friesians, yeah.
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 What else do you want to know?
That's it.
That's it. Well,
the real stitch up is the short-legged cows, or is it long grass?
Ooh, that is a tricky one. Depends where the red flag's blown.
That's right. It's hard to tell sometimes. How are you liking Leroy so far, guy? You're driving again?
Yeah, he's all right. I mean, it is, what's the dash say, 42 outside. So it's pretty warm. We've got the air turned down a little bit so you guys can actually hear us through the microphone. So I'm starting to get a bit of a sweat up. But it's not too bad, mate. It's got us there and back almost. We're almost out of fuel, by the way. We should probably stop in an OTR.
Drive like a hoon. This is the time of year you take a photo of your car's temperature gauge, and ours is 42. So there you go.
Is that a record?
Maybe. Coming up on Murray Bridge soon-ish.
This is thrilling stuff, mate.
Well, it's Speedway month. How much, what can we talk about?
Yeah, what can we talk about?
We don't even know who competed besides Michael Busby.
Yep, there's a fair representation of females, actually. That was promising to see, and competitive as well. Like, they were really, really up there. And it was, I guess what I like about Speedway a lot is the family aspect to it. You know, on their t-shirts, they've all got Turley Family Motorsport, or, you know, Hickley's Racing, that sort of thing. You know, and you can see mum, dad, kids, they all get involved. And that's a really, really cool aspect of Speedway. And, not that rallying doesn't have that, but it seems to be a bit more close-knit at Speedway. And obviously it's a bit easier to view, you know, the cars in the pits, you walk 50 metres, you can see the track. So, yeah, I really enjoy that part of Speedway. Yeah, and I'd like to sort of, I guess, take a bit of that flavour to introduce that to rallying, I suppose. And that's probably what's good about go-karting as well.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head with the easiness of Speedway. I mean, I don't mean that about the driving or the car prep or anything like that, but you put your car in a trailer and you show up and you enter the event, and yeah, your family's walking 20 metres to go watch your race, which makes it so much better for a day away or a weekend away. It's not like rallying, okay, it's a Saturday, Sunday, whatever, but it's a week, right?
Yeah, and it happens less often, so you're more inclined to not bring the family along because it's only a few times a year and it's a lot of effort. Yeah, and they can't view it as easy, and you have to make plans for them to come out and see them, you know, in a road closure, go one corner out of 52 corners you're doing on a stage.
But to be fair, at Speedway, there's only two corners. So
this is true.
You're not seeing that much less, really.
Yeah, you can see the whole thing.
How do you feel about the setup nature in the Speedway? I know that was a bit of a weird one for both of us to see how critical, you know, one PSI of tyre pressure and, you know, half a pound of preload and stuff like that.
Yeah, surprising, I suppose, how much it does matter. And I do like that aspect to it, that, you know, like a lot of sports, if you put more effort in, you get a lot out of it. So if you do put more effort into the setup, it'll be an easier car to drive, whatnot. It just doesn't sound like fun.
Not for us, especially for you, because you're a driver. You do the bare minimum to get your car on the stage and drive it as hard as you can.
I prepare a pretty nice car, mate.
Right, the bare minimum to finish the rally as well.
Bare minimum to make it reliable and quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Speedway, it's almost a continuous thing, because it's not like you set your car up before an event. You set your car up at the event, and then between heats, between races, the track's changing, how your last race went, where you're starting, all affects your setup and how it's going to affect it, you know, the night's getting cooler or whatever. So you need to continuously think about it. And I suppose that would be, I'd enjoy that more if, you know, you had a professional team and engineers, and you just had to feed them information and you made decisions with them. But when it's a grassroots thing, it's a lot of effort, I suppose, when you just want to go and enjoy the driving and racing hard. And I suppose that's the other thing to it as well, that you could put all this effort in, all this, like we found with, you know, and Michael put it, you know, he's very analytical. He does an amazing job at the setup, even though he hasn't had heaps of experience yet. He's put a big effort there, and it's showing, because a few years ago when he started, the car was bouncing all over the place. It was hard to drive, and now it's beautiful, and he's got a lot more confidence and can push hard. But yeah, he put all that effort in, and then it can be undone so quickly.
Yeah, and I think the hard bit about doing that in rallying would be the variable stages, surfaces. You know, you're competing over, you know, 12-hour day on 14 different stages or whatever it is. So it's obviously the top teams. I'm sure if you're listening, you know exactly what you're doing, or at least you pretend to. But we wouldn't even know where to start with that kind of stuff.
Nah, if it's in the ballpark and you can drive hard, go for it. They're two different sports for sure.
So that was fun. The biggest thing I noticed was that even with all this chat about setup, and I'm sure they did end up kind of on the same page near the end of the event, the driver had a lot to do with it. We noticed that in the A-Main final as well. There were some hot moves.
Yeah, your line matters heaps, and the reading of the surface, and you get grooves in the track, and if you put your right rear in there, it drives out of the corner really nicely, and you can definitely see a speed advantage of where you put the car. And also a lot of racecraft. When you're battling in a pack and you have to predict, I guess, two corners ahead of where you want to be and maybe make a compromise, go out under and over and that sort of stuff, yeah, you got to think of the spot a whole lot, and it does seem like there's a lot of variables there. But in the end of the day, still having a car that's easy to drive and predictable is going to be a good thing, and does make the setup effort worth it.
I guess that's the same as any motorsport, though, is really. If your car's easy to drive, you're probably going to get the most out of it. There's probably a few exclusions to that. I know in F1, famously, if your car's hard to drive, it's normally quicker, but I'm not really sure how that makes sense.
So, yeah, anyway, but probably the biggest disappointment of the night, there was no demo derby or fireworks.
No caravans being run over or...
No, generally no mucking around too much like that.
A lot of bogans. Yep. Hell of a lot of bogans.
Yep. I mean, but they're together, so they're not bogans within bogans, mate.
What do you mean?
Like a bogan in a sea of bogan isn't a bogan.
That's true. We're the weird ones.
City
slickers. I tried to wear Speedway appropriate clothing, but I did have my Fiat hat on. You didn't wear your Mitsubishi shirt. You really hung me out to dry there.
I was pretty scared. I just wore neutral clothing. So I probably looked more city than I needed to be there. I think the Speedway culture is really cool. It seems pretty friendly, like rallying, I suppose. I know that they are very serious and, you know, looking at other people's shock settings and what tires they got on and things like that. But at the same time, it seemed like, you know, after, I know Michael had his shunt, that the guys next to us, which they knew, did ask him if we needed any parts. So it does seem, you know, we're all Aussies, you know, in the country doing motorsport, like rallying, and I think that help each other out. The nature of the sport really surpasses both rallying and Speedway.
I think I had a kind of revelation. We've spoken about this a little bit before, but people often talk about the death of rallying, and I've been doing this sport for over 10 years, 12 years, something like that. And since I started rallying, everyone tells me that rallying is dying, and I've yet to see it happen. Apparently it will, but, you know, I don't believe it. And I think when you go to an event like we went to, with the amount of cars, the amount of money in the pits, the amount of support, the amount of spectators, it's easy to be like, oh, why doesn't rallying get this? How can we fix it? How can we do this stuff? And I think it's maybe the wrong attitude to have. And it was kind of a revelation I had this weekend, was like, maybe it's just our culture. Maybe Australia has a strong speedway culture and we don't have a strong rallying culture, and that's fine. Like, we watch cricket. They don't watch cricket in America. Like, is that a problem?
Yeah, and I don't think with our rallying fields that we're having any less entries or much less entries than we did in the 70s or 80s, which everyone says is the golden years, I suppose. I mean, costs are getting higher to run events, so therefore costs are getting higher to enter events and do them. But I don't, as long as the events can, you know, break even, I don't think there's any reason that like you said, it's not doomsday and the sport's dead. It's just what it is.
I don't think rallying's on the way down. I think it's pretty steady or on the up, and I think that's fine. I think we'll be happy with what we got. because I love the sport and I know most of the people listening do as well. So yeah, be proud of what we got. We've just passed the Murray Bridge Speedway track.
We have. Yeah. That's it. It's our usual stomping ground, park up on the hill. Last time I did go there was this. So we went to the Demo Derby about a month ago, and that was another depressing state of affairs. There was about 10 Demo Derby cars, and literally 8 of them were Magnus. The sound was glorious. The 3.5 litre valve bouncing in wet clay running into each other was pretty impressive. But again, it's just wastage, guys.
The visuals of Magnus destroying each other, that must have really upset you.
They were pretty destroyed when they got there. But yeah, they were definitely written off coming off the track. But the kids loved it.
Did you pick up that Magna on the side of the road in Mount Compass?
Wanted to. Yeah, guys, if anyone knows how to like get in contact with a car that's, you know, says police aware on it, and you want it, and clearly the owners aren't coming back for it, let me know. Like, who do you call for that?
I think you call no one and tell no one. I think that's the...
Definitely called stealing.
It's only stealing if you get caught.
This is true.
And who really misses a Magna? Only you.
True. Yeah. Half the windows are missing. We're on fuel light, by the way.
Oh, there's a fucking petrol station.
All right. In other rallying-related content, I suppose, it's been something that's been on my mind for a little while. And I'm doing the SA Rally Championship this year, and, you know, the ARC's going strong and the championships are, but... thinking about potentially, you know, next year and subsequent years, and I know other people are in the same boat of not doing a championship, but maybe cherry picking cool events to do or events where a lot of competitors are at or very cool roads. And we do have some iconic events in Australia, like the Alpine, like Bateman's Bay, some of the Victorian stuff. I've got my own personal favourite rallies in SA. But at the moment, especially without the WRC coming to COFs or anywhere in the country, it's a little bit hard to have any golden events. Like, we've got Alpine it's going to be a 3-year gap between 22 and 25, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a little bit hard to cherry pick events. And one thing and we'll talk about this more throughout the year, I'm potentially looking at doing is the Sunraysia Safari. Based out of Wentworth, New Mildura, where we just were, and outback New South Wales. I think it's just across the border there.
Will that be in orange season?
Orange season's from May to November, and it's in September, so we're good. Maybe a few oranges on the way. An event which I believe, again, do your own fact-checking, has been run for the last 4 or 5 years, predominantly sort of, I guess, a Dakar style event. Motorbikes do it, and rally raid style cars, you know, are the ones that win. But they've opened it up in the last couple of years to traditional PRC type rally cars, and maybe cut out some of the worse rough stuff. But on the face of it, 1,200 kilometres competitive in 4 days, all clover leafed out of Wentworth, camping at the showgrounds. $3,500 entry. Don't quote me on that. That might be not this year, but that was what it was last year. Seems like a pretty achievable event and just a great adventure. A lot of us would like to go do Dakar or, you know, some Paris to London, Sydney, whatever event that doesn't really exist anymore. But yeah, I look at it and it might be a good adventure type event that would, you know, you wouldn't get through those 4 days without a drama, whether it be with the car or navigation or running out of fuel or whatnot, helping other guys out. I think, yeah, you get a lot of good stories out of it, and that's what I want out of my rallying in the next few years.
Yeah, I know we touched on this last week or the week before about me wanting to do the endurance racing, and I think it's interesting how the desire grows to do longer format. And I don't think either of us can say we've conquered rallying, but it's another level of challenge, I guess, and different challenge.
Yeah, and my desire to do it wouldn't be to, in no desire to win, or I wouldn't really care where I finished, and maybe that would change as the event went on. But more just the get to the end. Go quick, have some fun, and get a lot of seat time as well. 1,200 kilometres of fanging through the bush.
Would you put an air conditioner in your car?
Nah, mate. Mate, you don't even want to camp. So.
Oh, I'm not co-driving for you.
That's fine, mate. That's fine. I'll just do it by myself.
Camping is just pretending to be homeless, and I do not support that at all.
Temporarily homeless, mate.
They have motels. They're actually really cheap. They're cheaper than a tent.
Yeah, but the camping's free.
No, because you got to go to the King's Superstore and buy your $400 Esky and your $600 light bar and your $4 million mattress. And it's not, is it? How many motel rooms you get for that?
Most things from King's, not a endorsement at all by the show, are about $2. So
that's true. That is $60 gazebo. It's almost disposable. It's not even worth packing up, is it?
Am I parked on the wrong side?
You have. It actually tells you. It tells you on the fuel.
Tell you. Oh, because the handle is not so.
Just pull your fuel thing, and then look in the mirror.
Is that the bonnet?
That's the boot. You've just. Did you open the bonnet?
The bonnet. Where's the fuel thing? Oh, there it is. Oh, there it is.
So you're on the wrong side. Professional driver and professional driver instructor Guy Tyler has opened the bonnet at
no
the Bowser.
On the dash. No
Why is the bonnet open?
Because that's where the Hilux one is.
That's good to know.
And I'm in a Toyota.
And you're in a Toyota.
It should be a Toyota.
It's a Lexus, mate.
And
so we're going to fill up with fuel. Is this the end of our Speedway adventure? We're in Murray Bridge getting fuel. We're about 10 minutes from home. Is there anything you'd like to say about Speedway? Where you're still struggling? Why are you doing a donut around BP?
Mate, this thing doesn't have the power to do a donut.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Michael, Peter, and Mark for having us, I suppose, and dealing with a couple of ring-ins being part of your team. It was a good fun weekend. I don't think Zane's ever going back. I'm a local Speedway enthusiast, so I'll go back and watch.
I'll be going back as long as Michael promises to break it, because that was fun. I like fixing it. That was cool. Thank you for listening to all the friends of the show. Thank you for supporting us over the years, and we'll hopefully see you soon. Cheers.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for waiting round. It's time to hit the road. If you liked The Regroup, please follow us wherever you get your podcasts.